the title?
Sword.
The title is not the topic. A title is what people want to hear. The topic is what the speaker wants to say. So I'll explain the title and then we'll get to the topic. The title is, what did we eat for Shavuos? Now, the standard custom in Am Yisrael is we eat milchiks. And there's all these different reasons. What's the classic reason? Why we eat milchiks? Why? Other than that, every holiday has to be food related. Beber Pesach, what you eat, Sukkot, where you eat it, Yom Kippur, not eating. Yeah. What? I mean, because everything was trash. And we only got the laws of keeping kosher at Har Sinai. So therefore, our kitchens were treif. The rabbi didn't come to kosher yet. So the only thing we could eat was, there was no soya. I mean, there was no sushi. Right. You couldn't go. They didn't matter kosher like salad restaurants yet. So we had milchiks, understand? Now, if you know your chumash, what did we eat for dinner? At Mamad Har Sinai or for lunch. So open up Shemot 24/7. Yeah. No. Open up Shemot 24/7. Shemot what? Shemot? Yeah, 24/7. You know that pasuk, don't you? Everyone search Shemot 24/7? Shemot 24/7. You need a chumash, yeah. Well, definitely need a chumash today. We're gonna start the shir in 5 minutes. This is the warm up. This is the title, then we'll get to the topic in about 4 or 5 minutes. Shmo 24/7 should be very famous. Yeah. Totally coincidental, but it's cute. 24/7 in Shmo is what famous pasuk? Am Yisrael says Nasa v'nishma, and they said that. Wasn't that the day they received the Torah? Either right before, right after, but Nasa v'nishma goes hand in hand with receiving the Torah. Yeah. What does Moshe read there? Moshe reads. Look at pasuk Zion again. Okay. Moshe takes Sefer HaBrit, he reads it in front of the people. And the people say, Kosher Diber Hashem, Naseh V'Nishma. Now, go back to Pasuk Dalet and see what he wrote down. What's it say in Pasuk Dalet? Ve'echto Moshe Kod Diber Hashem. And then what does he do next? Look at Pasuk Dalet. What's Moshe do after he... He gets up in the morning and he builds a Mizbeach, an altar. And he puts up 12 pillars. Now, if there's an altar, what's bound to happen next? You need Korbanot. Look at the next pasuk. What korbanot did they bring? Now, Rebbe and Yisrael bring korbanot, and they bring olot and shlamim, zvachim, which is shlamim. And what animals? Harim. Is that fleishik strabanan? Now, wait, but this was a korban, so no one ate it. Correct or not? Oh, shlamim. Shlamim? Who eats a shlamim? Yeah. And shlamim is a great Jewish invention. Okay. You give God a high cholesterol. Right, the chelet and the dam, we give to God, and we get the leftovers. It's a great deal. Why waste it? So everyone, there's a korban olah, but the main thing is a shlamim, or we call it a kiddush. If and then the next pasuk is Moshe reads Sefer HaBrit, and they take the blood and sprinkle, and then they sprinkle the blood on everybody, and there's a whole national ceremony where we receive the Torah. The elders go up afterwards, take a look, and therefore the pshuto shabikra. What do we eat? We eat fleishiks. But, again, that was the title. Now, what I want to do is, because talking about food, I want to talk about something much more important. Not so much what we ate that day, but what we ate that week, or the weeks before. There was a special diet in the desert that has a lot to do with receiving the Torah, and it's going to explain basically all Shavuot. When we didn't have fleishiks, what did we eat? In the desert? Mine in the desert? Of course, yeah. And when did we took it? We took it out of Egypt with us. What did we do with it? We got it from. We took the man from Egypt. No. But when did the man start falling? How did you know that? Okay. Balcorda, listen carefully. Again. And this is almost the topic. This is just a fun little game, and then we'll get to work. I want to give a couple more minutes in case late timers come. But we'll play a fun game. It'll help us understand this year. What's the date again? The 15th of Iyar. You're almost right. Okay? Open up Perikat Zayin in Sefer Shemot. You're in Sefer Shemot, and he opened up Perikat Zayin. And he says that we started getting mine on the 15th of Iyar. He's almost right. Take a look what happened on the 15th of Iyar. That's a month after we left Egypt. Perket Zion, chapter 16. Everyone see the Chumash? We're good? Chapter 16, Perket Zion. We came from Elim to Midbar Sin. Elim, we didn't need food because that was Palm Springs. You know that's Palm Springs? I hope you know that. In Elim, there's 12 springs and 70 palms. Amazing coincidence, isn't it? 12 tribes, 70 nations. And palms give fruit because of the water from the springs. And Am Yisrael, nations can be blessed if Am Yisrael provides Torah or gives guidance. It might be coincidental, like all these things, but it might be something good. But that was a good experience. They moved to a new place. Probably should have stayed there. But we left Palm Springs and we went to Midbar Sin. And what happens by chance in Midbar Sin? There's nothing to eat. Now, what day did we arrive in Midbar Sin? On the 15th of Iyar. Agreed? Did the man fall on that day? No. There was no food on that day. And the people complained. And they complained to Moshe, don't they? And how does God solve the problem? Pasuk Daled. Now take a look at Pasuk Daled and we're going to start to share. We solve the problem with the man. The man starts falling on, what do you call it? On what day? On Monday. On Monday. What day of the month was the first Monday? What day? The next day, because it started falling in the morning. So the 16th of Iyar is the first Monday. Actually, it's the first Sunday. No one understood that. If he did, he wouldn't be laughing, because it's really bad. Listen. When is the first time Am Yisrael has the concept of a week? When we were in Egypt, was there a concept of Shabbos? They were able to spit out water. They were able to pick out the watermelon pits.
What's the Midrash there was?
Okay, we'll get to Midrash in a minute. In Pshat, they didn't hear of Shabbos. Even Chazal say they didn't get the laws till Mora. We'll see where that comes from in a minute. But they never heard, because they didn't get the Ten Commandments yet. And they definitely get Sefer Bereshit yet. Sefer Bereshit was given in Har Sinai. Just read Rashi. Bereshit doesn't, if you're going to go that far already, Sefer Bereshit was given in Har Sinai. No one has, there's traditions, but Chumash wasn't, it might have been hidden somewhere, but Mshat Chumash wasn't given until Har Sinai. And Am Yisrael never heard of Shabbat. And there is no concept of a week in ancient times. There's months, there's days, those are natural cycles. There's years. But there's no week yet. There's no calendar. There's a calendar. There's no weekly cycle. Right? When is the first time the Jewish people uncover the concept of Shabbat?
Tomorrow.
No, again. It doesn't say that. It says, Sham Samlo Chok Mishpat Basham. Remember that word. Yisrael. I want to show you exactly where the Midrash, we're going to learn tons of Midrashim today. We'll see where all they come from. I'll give you an example. What day of the week was the Torah given?
Shabbos.
Yismach Moshe? Remember? What's that about? That's Shabbat. Shabbos day, Shabbat Matan Torah. The Shabbat Breshit, Matan Torah, Shabbat Latid Levot. The three Tfilot on Shabbat. Chazal understand that the Torah was given on a Shabbat. Tons of Shmiro talk about it, don't they? It's given. What day of the month, they argue? The 6th or the 7th. We can't get that through. But the day was given on Shabbat. You know how they know that? Because when is the first Shabbat experience in Chumash? Okay, if you guys were counselors in camp, we'd spend a whole session on this. You have a Jewish value, you teach it through an activity. What's the activity?
The mind.
How did the Jewish people discover Shabbat? Read Pasuk Chav by Balkori. Okay, wait, listen. This is Good Friday. Pasuk Chav Gimel, you just read? Wait, listen. Perek Tzayin Pasuk Chav Gimel. We'll go backwards in a minute. Vayi B'yom HaShishi. I'll repeat. You read faster than I do. This is what happened. It came, what do you mean on Yom HaShishi? On Friday or the sixth day of the month? We'll read it in a minute. Got it? We'll go back to Pasuk Chabet. Read from Pasuk Chabet. Listen. Wait a minute. Okay, they collected them on every day. Peret Tet Zayin, Pasuk Chabet. Now we're almost starting this year. Keep going. Because every day they took an Omer. If you took more than an Omer any other day, what happened? It went bad. And all of a sudden, on the first Good Friday, they were able to take double, and it lasted. And they kept complaining to Moshe, what's going on here? Something changed. Remember? And they tell the leaders, and the leaders come to Moshe. Right? They're surprised. What's going on? What's Moshe do? Now read. Chapdalad, right? Chapkimo.
Vayomer alehem hu asher shver Hashem shabbaton shabbat kodesh l'Hashem v'har ed asher tefu efu ved asher tebashu l'ashe de l'eichu ha'odev l'achan l'mishmer
adavu. Now, there's two ways to understand this. Moshe says, this is what I taught you a couple weeks ago about Shabbat, or this is what God told me to tell you at this event. In other words, instead of telling them first, instead of first teaching the laws of Shabbat in theory, you know, taking theoretical mamas or Shabbos laws, instead of teaching theoretical Shabbat and then practicing it later, right, you do it as an you learn on the spot. And God gave them man for 6 days, day by day, and the sixth day gives them double man, and they come, hey, what's going on here? And now he can teach them about Shabbat. You understand that the Hadrachah idea about how teaching ideas through an activity? If you know, camp, if you know, at any age, it works like a charm. Now, therefore, it's not by Yom HaShishi on Friday, but the 6 days the man fell was the first Friday. In other words, this is the first week in Jewish history, for sure. Maybe even real history. That's what we say. The first, because the next day is Shabbos, isn't it? One more line, and we have Shabbos. The double portion lasted. Listen carefully now. Right out of Shmiro. Okay. Now listen carefully. Next line. That's all we need. Sheshet yamim til kutu means 6 days. You can collect it. Continue. In other words, the Jewish people learn Shabbat through the month. Now, it could be that they already learned these laws beforehand, and Moshe is telling them, this is what we were learning about. And that's, except when, right? At Marah. We'll see exactly why at Marah in a minute. What I'm getting at is this is the first Shabbat experience. And if you want to make it even cornier, therefore, the first Sunday, what was the first Sunday in Jewish history? What was the first Sunday? What day of the month was it? What? The 16th of Iyar. Remember, you said the 15th. You were almost there. The first day we ate man was the 16th. And the joke is, the first Sunday was a Monday. Got it?
Wow.
Is that bad? Yeah. But that's why you'll remember it now. Right? The first Sunday was the first day they got man. Now.
It's also consistent with Yetzias Mitzrayim being on Thursday.
It's not consistent. Zehu zeh. Listen. Listen what happens. The whole Jewish calendar, the week, back to Birkas HaChama, is all based on this. Because the first Shabbos is now, what day of the month is the first Shabbos?
23rd.
Okay, get your math straight. Okay, you need a calculator. 16 and 7, I mean, 16 and 6, yeah. Okay. Remember, Good Friday was the 21st, and the 22nd is the first Shabbos. Now, from what you remember, did they keep the first Shabbos properly? Yeah, people went out and they collected. They didn't find anything, but they didn't keep it. What was the next Shabbos? Well, that's hard math already. 22 and 7.
29.
Can't do that anymore without a calculator. What? That's 29, isn't it? I'm assuming they kept that Shabbos. What was the next Shabbos? What? Either the 6th or the 7th, depending on Rosh Chodesh. Which was what day? Which was Shabbos, which is the day of Matan Torah. Everyone agrees it was Shabbat. That's so in the sitter. What day of the month is a machloket? Understand? No. That's how we know that Shabbat was the Matan Torah was on Shabbat. That probably works backwards. That's how we know it was on the 6th. Because it had to be on Shabbat. There's a medrash you'll know. It's Shabbat Kuf Yudchet. Should be there. Kuf Yudchet? What's it say there? Am Yisrael keeps? Yeah. Remember that? It's a famous. You don't know where it's from, but everyone's heard of it. If Am Yisrael keeps two Shabbatot in a row, what happens? Yeah, which is exactly what happened. Remember, Gula is Matan Torah? There's Enlecha Gula, no, bigger than that. And therefore, if Am Yisrael keeps two Shabbatot in a row, they're worthy for Matan Torah. And we got the Torah when we kept two Shabbatot in a row. Now, like you did the Cheshbon, you're good in math. You go backwards from the first, from those weeks, work backwards, and Shabbos HaGadol was the 10th. And we left Egypt, you know, on Thursday we left Egypt. And then go backwards to Briat Olam and go forward to today, and we have a full calendar. Understand? It gets messy, you know, with the when they kept on changing calendars and adding years, but that's a different topic. Already? Okay. So that was the that was the fun part. Now we're gonna get to the real shir. But you'll see why it's important. That's the concept of Shabbat and the man. Now, why are we talking about man for? How did we get to the topic of man? Oh, because the title was, what did B'nai Israel eat? So, and remember the other possibility was milk and spices or soya. Now, to teach kids what man was like, what did man taste like? Anything you wanted, remember? Like soya, it can be soya. There's soya hot dogs, soya milkshakes, soya hamburgers, soya anything. Right? Soya milk. Some people say it had been in tofu, remember? There's a pasuk for that. Et asher tofu.
Tofu,
no, this is even worse. The other title is, there was soya at Sinai. That's it for the bad jokes. Now we're going to get to a shir. There's too many different titles for the shir. Okay, we finished the title part, now we're going to get to work. Okay, now, all of that was just, we'll need all that, but now we're going to start the shir. Anyone who came now, we can start there. You can move the thing, it's not, you can move the mechitzas, okay. Don't tell anybody. Okay, there we go. Yeah, you need chumash, here, give a chumash there. Now we have to start the shir part. You guys mostly academics. Ask your classic cynical academic or cynical YU guy, or anyone in a real college, and when they tell you that Shavuos is a holiday to commemorate Har Sinai, what do they tell you? Is it in Chumash or the rabbis made it up?
Rabbis made it up.
Yeah. Right? You guessing or do you know that? Yep. Why did academics say the rabbis made it up? Because you could read the entire Bible inside and outside. And there's never any connection between Shavuot and Matan Torah. But what is the reason for Shavuot all through Chumash? Why? Not Bikurim, it's Chag Katzir. The first time we have it. Remember? It says, V'chag Katzir. That's Selecha. And it's Shiva Shavuot Yispor Lach Mechar Chamesh Bakama. Every time we have Shavuot, it's a harvest holiday. It's a grain harvest holiday. That's all it is. No more, no less. And even Sfirat HaOmer leads up to, it relates to the harvest. It has nothing to do, we all know the counting sphera leads up to Har Sinai. Agreed? But in Chumash, it never says anything that connects the holiday of Shavuot or counting Omer to Har Sinai. So there's all these words left and right, right? Maybe with the Korban, with the Shlamim, there's a lot of, we'll call it stretching a little bit. But it's much more obvious to say that it's only an agricultural holiday. And then hundreds or thousands of years later, the rabbis came along and that's what they're telling you in school. Who learned that? Isn't that the classic academic approach? No. I want to try and show you where the rabbis are coming from. And it's so simple. Because it all begins with the man. One pasuk is going to solve the whole shir. What do you call that again? What do we count during those 7 weeks? Sfirat HaOmer. With an aleph or with an ayin? With an ayin. Now, the word Omer, how come the Korban is called an Omer? How come we bring Korban HaOmer? Why is it called Omer? Why the Korban we bring? What is it? It's barley. Didn't say barley, but we assume barley. We'll see why. Why does Chumash call it Omer? And why is it called Sfirat HaOmer? Omer doesn't mean a beard or a... You know, Omer doesn't mean, not shaving. Omer means... it's a measure. How do you know that? There's a footnote in Chumash, isn't there? Look at the last line of chapter 16. We're in Perek Tet Zayin, aren't we? Perek Tet Zayin. Everything's in Perek Tet Zayin. In Perek Tet Zayin, in Sefer Shemot again. Look at the last line. What's it say? Every Bakori knows it by heart. The Omer is a Ba'omer Asri Teifa. Someone said he in the correct Bakori, and it's who? This one. Whatever you say, it's the other. It's always... Yeah. Now, it's a tenth of an Eifa. Now, that really helps you, doesn't it? How come it doesn't help you if I know that an Omer is a tenth of an Eifa? Because, but it's an Eifa. This is for the biblical author. Is that nice? Right? Assumes, right? Chumash, better. It's a nicer word. Chumash assumes that the reader knows what an Eifa is. because everyone knows what an Eifa is, and that no one knows what an Omer is. And Chumash is correct, because everyone knows what an Eifa is, that's the standard measure, and no one knows what an Omer is, because it's unheard of. And we're told that an Omer was a measuring cup that was a tenth of an Eifa. Now if you dive in Musaf today, you had a different word for a tenth of an Eifa. There's another word all through Chumash for a tenth of an Eifa. It's an Isaron. Remember? A tenth of an ifa is an isaron all through Chumash. But all of a sudden here, it's called an omer. Now, why do we have a footnote at the end of chapter 16 about what an omer is? You'll see why I'm calling it a footnote soon. Why? Is the word omer come up? If it's a footnote, there must be something in the text. Does the word omer relate to the man?
It's in Zenith. It's
supposed to store. That's later. That's another footnote.
What?
How much man could you take? What? An omer's worth. Is that a medrash or is that a pasuk? Pasuk Tet Zayin. 16:16. Take a look. Read 16:16, but a little slower this time. Tet Zayin. There was a special measuring utensil for taking the omer, and it was sort of magical because it was an omer, but whatever you put in is what you needed. Everyone could take the same amount, but it ended up being what you needed. If you took too much, what happened? It got spoiled. Got that? Skip to Pasuk Yudche, in case it wasn't clear enough. Okay. They measured with an omer. An omer is a measure. Most people don't even realize that. An omer is a measure, but it comes with the man, isn't it? It's part and parcel with the man. Never had it before, don't have it afterwards. Unique to the man is the word omer. Now, why is God giving us omer? Go back to Pasuk Dalad. Listen carefully now. And the whole shir is rooted here, anchored here, and this is going to solve everything. Okay? Remember, they run out of food. Remember, they run out of food on the 15th of Iyar. They complain to Moshe. What are you doing to us? We're going to die. Listen to God's answer. Loud and clear. Remember, lechem min hashemayim. That should ring a bell to somebody. According to the rabbis, that's the bracha they made on the man. Bruchat Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi lechem min hashemayim. Anyone heard that midrash? It's there, isn't it? You'll see where it's coming from in a minute. Keep going. Now wait, everyone now read it. Everyone together. This is responsive reading. Leman anaseno Hailech b'torati imlo. What was the purpose of the man experience? To get them ready for Matan Torah. That's not a drash. That's Pshuto Shemikra. Agreed? A nisayon, we've had the word before. Hashem nisat Abraham is a nisayon. It's not a test. A nisayon is a nisayon. It's a test is what a teacher administers to assess, you know, how much somebody knows. A nisayon is something the student needs to go through to become who he is. It's a challenging test. It's like basic training in the army or internship. It doesn't tell the teacher what you know. It makes you who you are. That's an nisayon. Ask any chassid or sharov. Any life experience that you can learn from and grow from is an nisayon. Now, and that's how you train people. How far is it from Egypt to Mount Sinai? Last count. How far of a distance is it from Egypt to Mount Sinai? It's a 3-day distance. That's black and white in Chumash, isn't it? How long does it take to get there? 6 weeks, doesn't it? Did they get there? We're going to read that, you know, Sunday morning. Now, what takes so long? You just can't leave Egypt and go to Mount Sinai. You can't come to Mount Sinai and say Nasa Venishma. You can't enter a covenant with God if you're not ready. And therefore, in order to get ready for Matan Torah, we need a training session. Before we get 6:13, let's see if we can keep 2. And therefore, the whole man experience is preparation for Mamad Har Sinai. Now, what are the two mitzvot that come with the man? What's the Shulchan Aruch with the man? What? You can take as much?
The amount
you're allowed to take, which is how much? Which is as much as you need, and not as much as you want. Now, that's the whole idea of it. You take as much as you need and as much as you want. What I call in English, no hoarding. If you want to see an example of it, you have a kiddush here ever? Okay, no, there's a Kiddush. Now, there's two frames of mind, there's two mindsets, two default modes in a Kiddush. One is, I better get before anyone else gets, because if I don't grab right away, I'm not going to have nothing. Right? The other mindset in a Kiddush is, I'm not going to take until I make sure this everyone else has. You follow? No. Now, the man is exactly that test, because we're about to be a nation representing God. Before we can even talk about Matan Torah, we have to make sure we know how to respect one another. Like, it's basics. It's not the essence of Matan Torah, it's the prereq for Matan Torah. So we have one commandment, which is Beiron L'Chaveiro. There's also an Indian of Emuna, for sure. But there's also an Indian of no hoarding. Now, there's another mitzvah Beinad L'Makom, which is don't taking on Shabbos, taking double on Friday, that's super Beinad L'Makom, and not taking on Shabbat. Agreed? And therefore, there's a Shabbat element and a thing. Now, what was the word again? Leman Ana Seno. Where did they learn the laws? Sham Sam Lo V'Chok V'Sham Nisao. Now you see where they're coming from? That's why Chazal put it there. Midrashim, they're all familiar with. They're all rooted in Pshuto Shem Yikra. But no one bothers to do the math even. Now back to the man. So what do we prove? That the man is an experience that prepares you for Mamad Har Sinai. But what was one of the key elements of that experience? Was taking how much a day? An Omer, and only an Omer. So don't tell me that Omer doesn't relate to Mamad Har Sinai. With all academics aside. You follow? You're missing the simplest explanation. The whole Omer experience, the Mamad experience, which is all rooted in Omer, is all preparation for Mamad Har Sinai. If that wasn't clear enough, look at the next footnote at the end of the chapter. Pasuk Lamed Bet. There's another, before the last footnote. There's an endnote, not a footnote. It's got to be an endnote because it happened much later. Okay. What did God tell Moshe to do? To tell Aaron to take what? Look at Lamed Bet, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. What does God tell him to do? Listen to the word Omer there. Yeah.
The Omer Moshe says, out of our church of Hashem, the lo ha-omer b'menu, the Mishmer, the Ma'am, the Yod, the Lacham, Asher, Ha'al, the Tem, and Bar, the Si, and Tem, they are Israel.
Keep going.
The Omer Moshe, the Omer Kach, Si, Tzad, Ahad, Ken, Shalom, and the lo ha-omer man, the Anachat, the Hashem, the Mishmer, the Zerot, the Tem.
Got it? A Meloho Omer Man. And where do we put it? In the National Archive. Imagine opening up the Aron Kodesh next to Sifrei Torah and finding a can of tuna or a can of soya. What's going on there? The Kodesh HaKodeshim is where the Aron HaBrit is. And what's in the Aron HaBrit? Luchot HaBrit. And what's on the Luchot HaBrit? Aseret HaDvarim, which is the S, which is Brit. Divrei HaBrit, remember? They're called Divrei HaBrit. That's why they're called Dvarim. The terms of the covenant. If there's a symbol of our connection to God in Matan Torah, it's the Dibrot in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is the symbol of Mamad Har Sinai. I'm sure you know the Ramban. You know that Ramban? That every element in the Mishkan is all, it's all imagery. The Mishkan is perpetuating Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore, in the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is our mini Har Sinai, our eternal Har Sinai, which we take with us, in the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is the top of the mountain, we have its intended Man, which reminds us of the preparation for Har Sinai. So don't, those two, if it wasn't that my first proof, the second proof, that the only thing, the Chathila, that was supposed to be with the Aron HaBrit, with the Luchot, with Sitenat Aman, says it all. That the Man and Omer Man relates directly to Matan Torah. So don't tell me the counting Omer doesn't relate to Matan Torah. Got it? It's the simplest explanation. And that's the only time we have the word Omer in Sefer Shemot, and the first time we have it in Chumash. Want to take a wild guess when the next time we find the word Omer is? And by Spirata Omer. What book is that? We're going from J to P. We're going to, listen, I'm doing that on purpose because it's the same author, you follow? It can't be two different authors. It makes no sense if it's two, because it's the same thing. I need one to get to the next. What happens in Sefer Vayikra? Look in Perichav Gimel. Remember Moadei Hashem. What's the first Moed? Shabbos is well, while you're finding it. Okay. Is Shabbat a Moed or not? Okay, look at Perachav Gimel. It says Moadei Hashem. It says Elamodei Hashem. Elamodei Shabbat. So that proves that Shabbat is a Moed. But look at Pasuk Dalet. What's Pasuk Dalet say? Elamodei Hashem, which means what's coming up for Moadei Hashem, which means Shabbat is not a Moed. And then we get all the Moedim, Nikrei Kodesh, don't we? Then we get Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, Shavuot, all the Moedim. So is Shabbat a Moed or not? What is it? It's an introduction. to Moedim. The way the Rabban explains, it's not a Moed, because it's before Pasuk Daled. But it's an introduction to the Moedim to tell you that the Kedusha of Shabbos overrides the Kedusha of Moedim. Because what might I think? That if Shabbos comes out on Yom Tov would supersede and I could cook. Because there's an inyan of cooking on Yom Tov, you follow? So Ramban explains, I need the introduction to tell you that Shabbat overrides, you know, the Kedusha of Shabbos overrides that of Yom Tov. Just like the introduction before we build the Mishkan, this is what God commanded to build, Eilat Ram Mishur Tziv Hashem, Shabbat, and then here's the Mishkan. Got it? Make sense? And therefore, we introduce the Moedim with the laws of Shabbat, because Shabbat is the intro, because it's Shabbat is more important. You know that by heart. Ki hu yom techila. In Mikrei Kodesh? When do we say that? Every Friday night we make a toast. We make a toast to the Sabbath day, don't we? Do you ever pay attention when you do it, Kiddush? You're making a toast. And we're praising the Sabbath day, aren't we? So when you praise somebody, you make a toast, you first have to make a toast on something real. Remember? On something you would make a toast on. So it's wine. Understand? And then you talk about, you praise who you're toasting to. And you talk about, oh, Shabbos is so great. What's so great about him? What's that? Oh, it's Zecher L'Maseh Breshit, isn't it? Who? It's also Zecher L'Maseh Mitzrayim. It's also Tchilah L'Mikrei Kodesh. It's more important than Yom Tovim. So we say that with Shabbos by itself. If Shabbos comes out in Yom Tov, we're not going to embarrass Yom Tov, are we, like that? So we're not going to say that Kiddush. Understand? So that was our little break for Shabbos. I want you to understand when you say Yom Tchilah L'Mikrei Kodesh, what you're talking about. No one pays attention to it. Now, back to Pasuk. What Pasuk? Now we're back to our shir. That was a little time out. Commercial. Now, back to Chumash. Perchav Gimel. Look what happens. Pasuk Dalet Techet is what holiday? That's just Pesach? Pesach is on the 14th. On the 15th is Chag HaMatzot. Chag HaMatzot, Moed Mikra Kodesh. And it's finished in Pasuk Chet, isn't it? It's a Mikra Kodesh, I bring a Korban, I'm done with it. Pasuk Tet is a brand new Parshia. Look at it carefully. Brand new Parshia that has nothing to do with Passover. It can totally stand alone. Listen to how it begins. What's it say? Everybody have Pasuk Tet? Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Read, loud and clear. Everyone have it? Perachab Gimel? What page is it in the stone?
684?
682, 684. When you come to the land of Israel, how come only when you come to the land of Israel? Because it's not Shaykh in the desert, because what's coming up doesn't apply when in the desert, because there's no agriculture. There's just man. But he says, when you come to the land of Israel, then what happens? And you do what? Okay, did you read it yet or not?
Yeah.
Kitabola, all right, start again. The next time we have the word Omer and Chumash, spelled the exact same way, the same gematria, isn't it? The Omer by the Omer by the Man is the same gematria, same word as the Omer. I was kidding. It's the same word as Omer here, exactly the same word, which has to be connected because it's such a rare word. It's not a normal one. It needs a footnote. What it is. And all of a sudden we have the word Omer by on what it didn't say what holiday is yet. It says, when you come to the land and you harvest, what do you do? As soon as you begin your harvest, what do? You bring an Omer. And what do you do with it? We treat it like a trophy. What do you do with the trophy? I'm asking you, don't know what that is. But, you know, you take like a Stanley Cup or something, or a trophy. What do they do with it? What do the players do with the trophy? Don't they wave it up and down, up and down? It doesn't stand like this. It's up and down. It's called tshuva. What we do with our lulav? That's called tshuva. You do that with something you cherish, right? Okay? You lift it up. Now, what do? We take this little omer, whatever it is, and we wave it in front of God. We make a big deal about it. When? As soon as we begin our harvest season. Now, what happens if our harvest season begins in August? Ronello? So when we do this? Does it say to do this after Pesach? When are you supposed to do this? When you begin your harvest. So what do you do if your harvest begins in August, July, in December, January? What would you do? Okay. Well, that's a theoretical question. You know why? Because if you know the land of Israel, there is no such thing. In the land of Israel, it's consistent. Ever since it's been a sun, that there's only one time of year that that grain grain doesn't grow all year long in Israel. You know that?
Yeah.
Right? It's like there's only one season for grain. Grain doesn't grow in the winter. You know why? It's too cold. Right? And grain doesn't grow in the summer. It's too hot. When does it grow? You know what I'm going to say now. That I stopped those lines already. But it's just right in the spring. Remember, you plant it when it's at the end of the winter, it sprouts up, and it's green, you know, in early March. Then it comes the chamtzin, God has his blow dryer, dries it out. And by the time you get to early April, late March sometimes or early April, you can just begin to harvest it. First the barley, a couple weeks later the grain, the wheat. And how long is it harvestable for? About 2 months. By mid-June, you got what you got. End of June, pushing it. To this day in Israel, you can see it. You guys remember, do we take you on the tubing? Is that better? Now, if you don't know that agriculture, you can't understand what these laws are. Now, what time of year, there's a word for the time of year the grain begins to blossom, the grain is harvestable. It's called Aviv. Isn't it? That's what the word Aviv means, when things begin to sprout and grow. And therefore, Pesach is Chag Aviv. And what always coincides with the Aviv? Two things. The beginning of our grain growing, and celebrating Passover. Because we don't celebrate Passover every 12 months. We celebrate Passover in the Aviv. And if 12 months pass and it's not spring, right, we celebrate Passover 13 months later. You guys call that Yibur Shana, but Chumash calls it Aviv. Remember, it's Chag Aviv, Chodesh Aviv. Kibbo Chodesh Aviv, Yisatam in Mitzrayim. So even Pesach is an agricultural holiday in that sense. Now, and therefore, Pesach always falls out the same time as Omer. By definition. Understand? It's not that... You understand my point? The date of Pesach is always Shemort Chodesh Aviv, Asita Pesach. And by definition, Aviv is exactly when the grain begins to grow. That's to do with nature. It's programmed. Now, if grain only grows 2 months a year, what do you eat the rest of the year? What are you going to eat the rest of the year if you only have grain for 2 months a year? What do you eat the rest of the time? Cereal? What? You store it, exactly. There's a story about it. Remember? Who's an expert at storing wheat? Yosef, wasn't he? No, that's their store for 7 years in the dry climate. You need a Jewish businessman. But most people can last about a year. A year, because after the winter, it's ruined. It's moist. If what grain do you use to cook to bake matzah? The new grain or the old grain? It's got to be old grain because you can't use the new grain until you bring the Korban HaOmer, until you wave it, which is after Pesach. And therefore, the grain you use to make matzah was picked 11 months earlier. Got it? And in order to make sure it didn't get ruined, that grain, and didn't get, and get moist, because once it gets moist, it's ruined. It's not just chametz, it's sour. It's no good. What do you have to do to make sure? Right? What do you have to do to that grain? You have to? You have to guard it. Guard it from what? From getting moist. Which we call matzah. Look on the box. Shmura mizman. Ksira, right? Understand? It makes perfect sense. It's not a chumra. It's pshuto shamikra. That's all it is. Shmurta v'ta matzot. Now, if you understand the agriculture, you understand exactly why it's so difficult to keep that grain. And when you get your grain, you have to put a special thing away. When you know I need that for Pesach, you follow? Then when you gather your grain already in the early summer, you already put away your flour for Passover the next year. And you put it in a special, and that's Matzah Shmura. And the word makes, that's our tradition. Now, that's why it's so expensive. So what do? We begin to harvest our grain in the beginning of the spring, and that grain has to feed us the rest of the year. And if the grain harvest is bad, it's not good. But if the grain harvest is good, we're in good shape. Now, people are worried stiff during that harvest season. How long? That's about 2 months at harvest season. What do we do on the very first day of the harvest season? What? We bring a special korban and we call it Omer. And that's not enough. During the whole 7 weeks of the harvest season, what do we talk about every day? Omer. Don't we count it? We count the days and the weeks. And that counting coincides with the harvest season, and that's exactly why it's a harvest holiday. Agreed? No. But why do we call it Omer, the Korban Omer? No. Why? Because what are we saying? What do we eat in the desert? Man. What do we eat in the land of Israel? What do we eat? Oh, you're longing in the land of Israel.
Bread.
From what?
Grain.
From what grain? The grain we collect during those 2 months. Now, let Moshe Rabbeinu explain the rest. Open up the Sefer Dvarim Perachet. Listen, there's a danger in the land of Israel. Because if you get man from God every day with a miracle, who are you going to thank for it? Why do you thank God for getting man? Because it's obviously coming directly from God. You can't miss it. You have to be blind not to see it. And what bracha would you make on the man? Amotzi lechem min hashamayim. But what's the danger when you come to the land of Israel? Take a look at the example. There's a danger. Skip to pasuk Yud Aleph. We'll go backwards in a minute. Perachet pasuk Yud Aleph. Actually, pasuk Vav is better. But we'll go backwards in a minute. Look in pasuk Vav. Okay. What's it say there? Keep all God's laws. Pasuk Zayin. Read Zayin out loud. What do you got? Make sure to keep God's laws. That's we never heard that before. Pasachet. Remember, in Sefer Dvarim, Perachet, what page are we on?
982.
In Perachet, in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his final speech. A month before he dies, his Am Yisrael is about to go in the land. They've been eating man for the last 40 years. Now continue.
Pasachet?
Yeah.
Eretz,
no, Pasach Zayin, you skip.
Ki Adonai Eloecha mevi'acha el Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachale Maim.
It says, be careful because God's bringing you to a land that has everything. Like what? Eretz, Chita, Vesora, Vegefen, the land of the seven species. This land has everything we need. Okay? And therefore, what it goes on, read Pasuk Yud, you know by heart. God's giving you the land, and when you eat from the land, what do you have to do? You have to thank God. Understand? And what bracha do we make on? What bracha do the rabbis make on eating from the grain of the land? Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. What are we saying? We're treating our produce that we do ourselves as though God as man. Now, who's on a higher madriga? Someone receiving man and thanking God, or someone doing it himself and treating it though as God gave it to him? What's greater, seeing Kriyas Yamsuf and singing Shirat Hayam? Or fighting battles like David HaMelech does naturally, and singing Shirat David. You know what Chazal said? David is a much higher madriga. If you can find God in nature, whoa! You know, call that a home run. I don't know what it's called. You guys play baseball. That's as good as it gets. If you don't need miracles to believe in God, you see God through nature. Someone said mumbled Borchi Nafshi this morning. Is that what it's all about? That's what David's saying. He looks at nature and treats it like a miracle. It's all coming from God. It's not obvious. Ask any Greek mythologist or any Canaanite. He says, oh, there's a grain god. Right? His name is Dagon, I think. There's a rain god. Baal, remember? There's a fertility god. Asherah, there's lots of gods. There's a wind god called Moriah. You know the song?
Oh.
Or Katrina. That's the song, what it's about. Right? Winds, every power of nature has a god. Katrina, I'm sorry. Whatever the name is. That's a specific one. But all these different powers had names because they have identity. That's what people perceive. Now, in Chumash, how does Chumash tell us that all these powers is really one God? Where does Chumash tell us what appears to be many powers, many Elohim, many powers, is really one God? That's the first phrase of the Bible. Breshit bara, singular, Elohim, plural. All the powers is one. And even though the sun looks like it's its own power, who made the sun? The sun god, right? Remember? It's the son of God. The moon. And God gave the sun the power. Remember, who gave the sun the Mshalat HaYom, Mshalat HaLayla? The more God... Don't come... You got that one, did you? Got it? That's the first parak in Breshit. Now, what story does Chumash make up to get that point across? Creation in how many days? In 7 days. And therefore, whenever you have the number seven... Consistently, it relates to that thing. That what appears to be many gods is one God. And don't be surprised when we have to make a statement that the grain isn't from a grain God, but it's from the one and only God, and our God, the God of the Bible, right? The God of all, whatever they call him, is what? Don't be surprised we have something with the cycle of seven. That's what cycles of seven are all about. No. And therefore, now we're into business. Now, Remember? And that's why the rabbis put Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz is based on that. It's based on the month. Now, look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yishamer Lecha.
Yishamer Lecha pen tishkach et Adonai Elohecha levilti shemon mitzvotav umishpatav vechukotav asher anochi betzavecha heyom.
One more line, pen tochal.
Pen tochal lesavata uvatim tovim tivne.
The rest you know. What's the there's a danger in the land of Israel. You might become too prosperous. And prosperity will lead to affluence or lead to haughtiness. Never heard of something like that. That's what might happen. And who are you going to forget? Look at Pasuk Tevav. Who are you going to forget? No, Pasuk Yudalet. Pasuk Yudalet. You become haughty. V'shechachta at Hashem Elokecha. Who took you out of Egypt? Who gave you the man? Pasuk Tetzayin. Hamachachama Midbar. Got it? And what are you going to say, Pasuk Yudzayin? V'amati bovecha. Kochi ba'otzem yadi. Asad etachay lazeh. What do you have to remember? You have to look at Pasuk Yudchet, which is the whole shir. V'zacharta? Ki hu anoten koach lasot chayo. Who gives you the power to give? That's the whole message of Chumash here. That you live with nature and you treat it like it's a miracle. I need all the stories of Chumash to get that point across. But in day-to-day life, I can't depend on it because a miracle happens every day. We call nature. But to see God in nature and treat it like it's a miracle and treat it from God? And therefore, how does Am Yisrael as a nation proclaim to God that the man that we're eating, that the grain that we're eating, is coming from God? We treat it like man. And therefore, what do we talk about during those 7 weeks that we're getting our grain? We talk about Omer. And if you know Omer and the man, you don't need a word lachanol. It's right there. You don't even need the academics. Right? It's Pshuto Shel Mikra. Now go back to the beginning, Parakhat. I forget to give out the source sheet now. I can get this out. This is the review, but you don't want to peek ahead. Pass it back to that. It's not everything we did, but it's the main sources that we talked about. We got to get that. There's more things in the barn that support it. Can I pass these back this way? Okay, get in shot. Man, yeah, don't look ahead though. But just review real fast. Just a 2 minute review. Okay, so we make sure we cover everything. A1, that was the key pasuk we read out loud. The man understand it with Torah Timlo. And how much Omer la Gugolet, the Tzitzena Taman in 3, and A4 is the Eifa. Counting the Omer and B, we did. Right, Yikur Yotet. We're going to bring Omer Rishi's head and counting the 7 weeks. Now, the next source is going to be C. Look at C. I want to prove to you that Omer relates to being caring for other people. Mm-hmm. Caring for the less fortunate. Like what I call not hoarding. Because the word Omer we found 2 times. By the man and Beshalach. We find it by Emor, by Sperta Omer. We're going to find it one more time in Sefer Bamidbar. Where? I mean Sefer Dvarim. The mitzvah for husbands. It goes like this. Ki tiksor tzircha basadecha. When you what? When you harvest your field, what are you commanded to do? You're commanded to forget. Someone got that light. This is for husbands. You're commanded to forget. Like, how can you command someone to forget? You can't forget that. But you're commanded, if you forget, you have to remember to leave it over. Should you forget Omer in the field? It's good to forget that. Okay? You have to remember to forget. Okay? Don't go back. Give it who? To the Ger Yotam Balmana. Why not say, you know, an aluma, like the brothers were gathering? There's many words for sheep, for grain. But we use the word Omer because it's in the context of a small amount. And that's it for the word Omer in Chumash. And we see it relates to a law of social sensitivity because it's followed by the mind of Rechacha, followed by in Chumash. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. We don't have it in the theme, we have it, there's a Megillah about this word. Want to take a wild guess what Megillah, the word Omer, is in? Of course it's in Ruth. When do we read that? And what's she collecting? Remember? She's an out. She's a ger. Sort of an amana, isn't she? She's got it all. And an outcast, everything. And what's she collecting? She got nothing to eat. So she gets leket. And what she's melaketet ba'omarim. Look at Perek Bet. You'll see it in Ruth. And what's Boaz say? If you know where's my Valkore? What's Boaz say to his men? Because he has his eye on her. What's he say? Gam bein omarim. Let her take even more than omarim. And she comes home with a handful. More than a handful, doesn't she? And that, and nobody realizes he has his eye on her. The rest is Megillat Rut. That's a different shift. Now, back to... that's it for the word Omer, but it's in the context. Now, Omer, I mean, what's her name? Ruth has a great grandson. What was his name? David? Right? Remember who has exactly that message? Remember? Shirat Hayam, who sees nature and finds God. And what is your site? You see where it comes from? I'm trying to show you where all the Midrashim come from. The whole theme of Shavuot I'm showing you is that doesn't have to be something historical. That's something thematic. That's a bit Zursai. No. I'm trying to show you what I'm getting at. All these Midrashim which you're familiar with, it's not just something historical. It's something much more than historical. It's something essential to who the character of David is and what the theme of Shavuot is about. Now, if that wasn't enough, as long as we're in Sefer Dvarim Maskinan, let's look at the laws of Shavuot and Dvarim. Open up Sefer Dvarim. Oh, I'm sorry, before we leave Perichet. I skipped the beginning of Perichet, which proves my point. Look at the beginning of Perichet. Perichet and Dvarim. Page 982. See how Perichet begins? Keep God's laws like usual. Click on Pasuk Bet. It's also source D on the source sheet. V'zachart et kol ha-derech asher holicha zer avim shana b'midbar. Remember the way you went. Why? Leman anotcha l'nasotcha. Why did God put you through the desert? To test you. Say the word nisayon again. Ledat asher b'vavecha tishmon mitzvotav imlo. God can't bring you to the land of Israel until you're sure you're ready. Understand? And we don't get to land of Israel until we're ready. So we have to wait. The first generation fails. We have to bring up a new generation. How did God do that? Pasuk Gimel. Vayantcha ve'arivecha. Ve'achicha taman asher lo yidata v'lu navetecha. Laman yod ki lo alechem v'vado yichi adam. Ki akom atzipi Hashem yichi adam. Simatcha lo v'tam yalecha. Remember v'yadata ki kasher yaser ish b'no Hashem adlecha chin yasracha. God's training you. Like a father trains his son in the old days. He gives him a hard time to learn how to be independent. And therefore the word nisayon again by the man. The whole shira I gave you, that the man is a preparation experience, not just for receiving the Torah, but for applying the Torah in the land of Israel, that's exactly the man. So according to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything works perfect, doesn't it? Now, get one more source in Sefer Dvarim. Actually, two more. Look in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Tetzayin. We're going to read it second day Yontif. You're going to read it second day Yontif. Second day Yontif, we read, remember, Kol HaBachor? And Shmort Chodesh Aviv. Now you understand why Shmort Chodesh Aviv? Because there's no lunar dates in Perek Tetzayin, it's all agricultural. Remember? You bring Pesach, ki b'chodesh aviv yetzatem em Mitzrayim. Look at Perek Tetzayin, look at Pasuk Tet. What's it say there? Shiva shvot tispor lach. From when? Not from Pesach, but from when? Me'achel chamesh pekama, techel tispor sheva shvot. That's what the academics tell you. It's only an agricultural holiday. Of course it is. That's all it is. But so is Pesach. You can't. They're linked. It's not coincidental. They're linked together. Because they take all the agricultural holidays and give them historical meaning. Now, we count 7 weeks. And then what do we do after 7 weeks? Making a holiday called Shavuot. But because by definition, Shavuot always begins with the Aviv, and Pesach always comes out B'chodesh Aviv, of course they'll be linked. Now, what do the rabbis do? Why in Vayikra do we begin? It says when you gather your harvest, right? As soon as you begin your harvest, what do? You bring Omer. But when do you bring the Omer? Why need Merchat HaShabbat? Why not the first day? We want to standardize it. Now, why am I using the word Shabbat? It might be referring to Shabbat Bereshit. Ask your local tzduki, or it might be referring to the first day of Shvitat. Belachav of Yom Tov or Shvitat Chametz. It's unclear in Chumash. Chumash leaves it up to the rabbis. But why am I using the concept of Shabbat with the Omer? Because that is the concept of Shabbat. Remember the first Sunday? Remember? Our first discovery of Shabbat was with the whole Omer experience. So of course we're going to relate it to Shabbat. We have to. And we're going to count Seder Shabbatot because it's a whole theme of seven. And it's going to coincide with the harvest season. It might be 2 months, but it's the seven sevens. That's got to be it. Now, Chumash leaves it open to the rabbis how to interpret that. But when Chumash Smichot juxtaposes, right, the Mo'ed of Chag HaMatzot, with Pesach HaMatzot, right next to these laws of the Omer, got it? So Chumash is telling the rabbis, interpreting. You follow? And therefore it's a logical thing to call that Shabbat of the first day of Pesach. It makes perfect sense. It makes sense to call it Shabbat in Torah Shebichtav. It makes sense in Torah Shebapeh to relate it to Pesach. the Chachamim are taking a lead. Chumash is screaming it, but it's leaving the rabbis the last step, because all these holidays don't have a lunar calendar. They can't have a lunar calendar because they're all agriculture, means they're solar. Now, the Maisa, you have to put them into a calendar. So I have to present them in their ideal sense. Now, the practical application, what day in the calendar, so I got to do some compromises. And they compromise perfectly. You know, bottom line, I have to put a calendar. I have to sync my lunar calendar, my solar calendar together. And Chumash is telling me, and that's exactly what the rabbis do. But Chumash leaves that to the rabbis to do. That's, Chumash doesn't have to get into that detail. That's why God made rabbis. Now continue reading in Dvarim. What's it say next? You have a holiday of Shavuot, and you give as much as you think you're chayv to give. Jewish go. Let's donate no exact amount, but kashir, as much as God blesses you. Then Pasuk Yudalef. What's it say there? How do we celebrate Shavuot? V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Be happy on your harvest holiday. No. Who has to be happy? We have a whole long list of people. Everybody. But then say everybody. It says the your servant and your maidservant, and the Levite, he gets in there somehow, and the Geri Otaman Amana. Just so happens everybody doesn't own land. Right? Levite. What do all these people have in common? They don't own land. Now, why is the farmer happy during Shavuot season? Why is he happy at the end of the harvest season? Because he's the landowner and he's got the profit. Now, how about all these other people? They're not so happy. And therefore, how does Chazal understand this commandment? Not that you have to be happy, because God can't command happiness. What's God commanding? To make other people happy, the people don't have. And that's how you thank God for your produce. And what's the proof? Look at the last line. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Remember, Zacharta. Rashi says, you keep my four happy, Rashi's right there. Take my four happy, I'll make your four happy. You take care of my Geri Yatom and Amanan, Levi, and I'll make you and your family happy. Understand?
How are you reading this last line?
Rejoice in front of God by you make others happy. Read the Rambam. The Rambam Yom Tov says the same thing. And quotes right from here. Give you a better example. You mumbled it this morning. Mizmor the Toda, something? Mizmor the Toda, start mumbling. Mizmor the Toda? There's a Simchas Torah song there, isn't it? Yeah, you said it. Ivdut Hashem, v'simcha. How do you serve God? Simcha is not how to serve God. It's with what to serve God. When you bring a... Why is it Mizmor the Toda? You don't know the laws of a Toda. A Korban Toda, when do you bring a Korban Toda? Didn't you say Tim Kuvzayin and Yom Atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim? Hope you did that. This is a Gabbai. Did you do that right here? Tim Kuvzayin, that's the real halal. Your day Hayam Boniot, remember the whole cycle? We call Birchas HaGomel today. No. In Beis B'chus Nitchei Todah, Beis Tapel Masabrina. You're thankful, you bring a Korban Todah, it's donating a Kiddush like in the Bulletin. This kind of Kiddush is sponsored because of this great event. That's how you say thank you. And when you bring a Korban Todah, you have one day to eat it. 40 breads means it's forcing you to share it. And therefore, and what do you do when you donate the Kiddush? People ask, hey, why are you bringing Korban Todah? You have to share it. If you don't share it, that's terrible. If you can't even think about leftovers. Because it's made to share. But when you're sharing, what do people ask? Why did you bring a Korban Todah? What do you say? God saved me. Remember, I was in trouble. I was in Sarah. That's Tinum Kuvzayim. And therefore, you use your simcha as a tool to sanctify God. Like Patch Adams. It's not a doctor who's happy. A doctor uses happiness as a medical tool. It's not that you have to be happy when you serve God. You have to use, when you're happy, use your happiness in the service of God. I think that's sort of a... Tachat asher lo avad Hashem Elokecha. Some Rashi, the Samachta v'Simachti by Bior Masrot. Asiti Chosher Tivani Samachta v'Simachti. And in the Tochacha, it's even better. Because what goes with Tachat asher lo avad Hashem Elokecha? A ger asher v'kerbecha. The ger, who you're supposed to take care of, you didn't, because you didn't follow Sefer Dvarim, is going to become your big shot. Right? Just like your king is going to go into exile, your wife, who you marry, is going to be taken by your enemies, your houses you built. Didn't you notice that in the Tochacha? All the mitzvot of Sefer Dvarim get flipped around? Yep. Why? Because what didn't you do? Because you tachat asher lovat Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'chol tov. You didn't use your simcha to serve God by helping the stranger. And what will happen? The stranger is going to take over you. Midah keneged midah. Read the Tochacha. It's right there. Now, and it's a theme throughout Dvarim. It makes it, remember, in Dvarim and Ten Commandments, in Ten Dvarim, it's for to make other people happy. Man Yanuach Abdecha V'Amadcha. Remember? The Man Yanuach. It's for Shabbat. Now, time's up. Did I make my point, I hope? About Omer? I'm trying to show you where all the Midrashim of Chazal come from. It's when you read Chumash carefully, when you study Chumash, with the assumption that each story is a foil for the next one. Now, what happens is that the way you thank God is by being godly. When you were a Ger Yotam, when you were in the desert, you're all in the madrega of a Ger Yotam Amana, because you have no one to take care of you, and God took care of you. When you come to the land of Israel and you become the God because you have the power, what do you do with your godly? Because you were made B'Tselem Elohim. Where's that story? Oh, also in the 7 days of creation. Right? Man's made B'Tselem Elohim. He has to be godly. And how does he thank God? Present. But as somebody who thinks he's a nobody. By taking care of those who don't have. Now, just go back real quick to it's right in Emor again. We count 7 weeks. We count the 7 weeks. And the end of 7 weeks, we make Shavuot there, don't we? Because Kodesh Yalachem. And we throw in a pasuk that has nothing to do with the holidays. Look in Pasuk Chabet, in Perek Chabgimon Vayikra, Chabgimon Chabet. Remember, we finish holidays. Ukhatem Betzem Yom Hazem, Mikol Kodesh Yelechem. Vayikra Chabgimon Chavalef. Remember, Ukhatem Betzem Yom Hazem, Mikol Kodesh Yelechem. I have to bring Shtei Halechem now. Now you see why I make Shtei Halechem at the end of the process. Vayikra Chabgimon, in Oregon. And then we insert a Pasuk from Kloshim to you. Which one? V'kut Zerchem, et Kser Zerchem. Ani Hashem Elokechem, which is what commandment? Ani Hashem Elokechem is the first commandment, isn't it? I'm your boss. And how do you apply Ani Hashem Elokechem? By Leket Shicha and Peah. It's right there, isn't it? That's a Dibrot. That's Matan Torah. Ani Hashem Elokechem is Matan. Isn't that the first Dibor? And the app. You know what that is now. The application of Ani Hashem Elokechem is B'kutzchem Ekser Tzchem. And that was the message of the man and the whole Omer with the man. Okay, now, just the finale, for last part. One, if this is a possibility, but if it is, it's too good to be true. Is there ever a mitzvah that we really commemorate and relive on Mount Har Sinai? So we have a minhag on Shavuot, which is nice, and there's Ramazim to it, fine. But is there ever a mitzvah really to relive it? Hakel, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone agree? It's a less mitzvah in the Bible. Yeah, every how many years? How come every 7 years? Does it say Shemitah there or something? So yeah, take a look at Source E. You don't do your Chumash now. Just Source E is enough. Look in Source E. In English, you can find it in your Tavarim. By Tzad Moshe Otem Leimor, remember? Listen carefully. Miket Sheba Shanim B'moit Shnata Shemitah B'chag HaSukot. Right? Hakel at Ta'am. Everyone knows Hakel is Mamad Har Sinai. All the keywords, that's a standalone, but it's obvious. Hakel is Mamad Har Sinai. The fear, the gathering, the Chavaya. Now, everyone understands that B'moed Shnat HaShemitah is not the beginning of the Shemitah year, the end of the Shemitah year. Down the line. It's Pshuto Shemikra. Why is Hakel, every 7 years I need something periodic, but why every seven, and why is it related to Shemitah? Not just so I have every seven. What I'm going to suggest is that I need Shemitah for Hakel. Why? If I went to relive my Mount Har Sinai, how would I do it Hollywood style? Or Camp Stone style? How would I do it? Where would we go? That's Algonquin. We'd go where? We'd go to some desert, right? And we make a big mountain, right? And then what would we eat for the weeks beforehand? We'd eat man. Now, that's hard to pull off. We have to leave our homes. It's expensive. Right? And where are we going to get man from? Chumash has a better way to do it. Stay at home. How do I create a desert experience, a desert atmosphere in the land of Israel? I need a supply of food, that there's enough food for everybody, but you can only take how much? As much as you need. So what do? We have this amazing law. Every 7 years, all the land belongs to the landowners, but the produce of the land belongs to who? Belongs to God. Remember? You're supposed to eat from the produce of the land. Not like nowadays they mess the whole thing up. But you're supposed to eat the produce of the land, aren't you? It says so. By Tash Shabbat Samdochlav. But it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to everybody. Everything's hefker. Want to take a wild guess during Shemitah how much you're allowed to eat? There's food for everybody, isn't there? There's abundance of food. And if there's leftovers, let the animals eat it. But how much can you eat? As much as you need. No, we don't have that measure anymore. But how do the rabbis translate it halachically? How much can you take during Shemitah? You can't hoard during Shemitah. What can you take? Mazon, two sudot or three sudot? Don't learn Shemitah. Look in Rav Rimon's book. I'm pretty sure it's enough food for a day. During Shemitah, you can take enough food for a day. Everybody, even the richest farmers, have to live like a day laborer, day by day. And they have to know what it feels like to live a day by day. So they'll pay the workers on time the next year. But for 1 year, everyone eats as much as you need, not as much as you want. And there's food for everybody. And when is that produce happening? That's the summer months. And right before Sukkot. Sukkot is the last harvest, the fruit harvest holiday. And therefore, for the whole several months before Hakel, we're reliving in the land of Israel the same basic experience as the man experience in the desert, which is all about Omer. And again, just like Omer prepares you for Mamad Har Sinai, Shemitah prepares you for Hakel every 7 years. Now, if that's true, there should be some allusion, at least it's not a remiss or something, that would tell you that the laws of Shemitah relate to Har Sinai. If we only had that, we'd be in good shape. So there might be one thing, is that if you look at the laws, the way Chumash writes the laws of Shemitah, it's very similar to like the Omer, isn't it? Every Bakori gets mixed up. Usfarta lechem, how's it go? Usfartem lechem, sheva shabtot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pamim. We just read that, didn't we? Remember? The 7 weeks, and then we get to a 50, right? Sfirat Omer, usfartem lechem, rochet ha-shabbat, sheva shabtot, shabrit v'yana, then 50 yom. It's both. It's the same. It's next door neighbors in Chumash, aren't they? Perchav Gimon, Perchav Hey. They're right next to each other. So the wording and the juxtaposition of Omer and Shemitah is right there. But is there any in addition to that? Is there any remez that the laws of Shemitah might relate specifically to Har Sinai? How come you're laughing? Better than Rashi. Chumash. What's called Rashi? Yeah. That's exactly Parshat Bahar. You remember Rashi's question. Okay? All the laws were given, or most were given from Har Sinai, but all the laws of Chumash, and there's lots of them, begin by Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemor. We don't need to say Har Sinai, because of course they're from Har Sinai. And all of a sudden, one law is singled out to say specifically it was given on Har Sinai. In the end of Vayikra. What law is that? Parshat Bahar, which is the laws of Shemitah. So that might be a remez that the laws of Shemitah relate to Har Sinai. Or might be coincidental again. Right. But if it is, then that puts icing on the cake. So that's the... So now we'll go back to my title. What do we eat? Right. It could be milk and spices, that's irrelevant. But eating soy, eating man before Matan Torah is what Matan Torah is all about. If I don't have that basic element of sensitivity to others, that's the baseline before I can receive the Torah. And that's the tashtit that I can put the higher level on top. But without that type of behavior, you can test. You always do the Kiddush test. You see how Chinuch is doing.
That's cool. Okay. What do we do?
That's our minhag. You'd rather eat soya? Tofu. That's a beautiful minhag. How did it came out? Yeah, ask your. So there's people, academics, do the history of the minhag. When it started, when it began. That's cute. That was the title, not the topic. Get the difference? Anyways, everyone should have a Chag Sameach and stop. What? The other way, that's not why you have Hakel, that's why the cycle is 2.5 years.
Right.
The cycle is 7 years because of Hakel, not Hakel because of the cycle. Yeah, for sure. That's why we start the cycle with Simchas Torah, not Rosh Chodesh, but not Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
That's for sure.